The following is a replay of a live show that aired Wednesday, April 17th at 5 o'clock p.m. The opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of the University of Wisconsin-Madison or its Board of Regents. Thanks so much for listening and enjoy. Hello all, and welcome to an edition of After Further Review on WSUM 91.7 FM Madison. I'm Vincent Hesberg, here as always, joined with Alex Schuster. I think we only have three live shows left together, Alex, so they're really they're sneaking up on us. It's been a fun run, but I think last night we were discussing what our rate my take should be. You kind of showed why the show really should end maybe last week. As we spin it, no, I think that we need to first talk about the opening discussion. So Alex and I, we every Monday night we get on a call. We're supposed to plan out what we want to talk about for the show, but we don't. We instead talk about random nonsense, which often seeps into the show, which I think is one of our favorite topics. But Alex said that he said, I got like kind of a goofy take. I don't know if it's sports related, but I think that I want to do it, but I want your permission. And I was like, dude, you don't need permission. We're a team here. This, you got three shows left. But then I understood why Alex wanted my permission, because he wanted me to rank, and this is a sports show, remember, my family members in order of how much I wanted them with me if the zombie apocalypse happened.
No, it's not how much you'd want them with you. It's more so how much you think they could contribute. You have to rank how good they'd be in an apocalypse. You just got to split hairs. I'm assuming nobody's going to be fantastic, but you got to decide ranking your family members of how well you think they'd perform in an apocalypse.
Okay, so
not picking favorites.
Favorites in a certain standpoint. You're basically saying how useful you think your family is, and I wouldn't survive Thanksgiving if I
think it's a great conversation.
So
topic.
I'm very glad that our friend Jack Cohn is here to break that. First of all, Jack, how's it going? We literally just dragged you into this like 5 minutes ago.
Good to be here, you know.
Yeah, no, it's
lively
not, but. Well, we're glad you're here nonetheless. So I think this is silly. Alex thinks he's brilliant. What side are you taking on here?
What do you mean? The question?
Do you think Alex's question is ridiculous and not worth discussing? Or are you wrong and think it's a good idea?
I'm right. I think it's a great idea to discuss.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Okay.
You got to take it with a grain of salt. It's not a serious,
it's not.
Discussion topic, but also it's a fun discussion topic.
Yeah, well, I'm partially playing a bit here.
I texted all my siblings and asked them, and we talked through who their first choice would be. I was kind of offended. I went one for three about what I was expecting. I thought I'd be in that top tier of choices, maybe not 1-1, but... I think it's a fun conversation.
All right, let me stand up for your siblings. First of all, let me say that I am an only child, so I think this is an easier conversation for you to have. But I'm terrible at rec league basketball. I was putting up Tony Snell numbers consistently in WSUM squad. I was completely useless. I beat Alex in a one-on-one. So I understand why you're at the bottom of the list. No offense.
I don't think driveway basketball translates to those abilities. But, yeah. Again, I'm not saying I would fare well by any means. I'm just saying it's a somewhat interesting conversation, especially if you're a competitive family, because then it gets into splitting hairs, debating how well does my Lego building translate to building a shelter.
I
genuinely believe that I would be able, like, if you put me in the woods right now, I think I'd be able to build, like, a tent or something. I built a teepee, a tree fell in my neighbor's backyard when I was a kid. We cut it up with a saw and built a teepee out of it in our backyard.
You'd be like Michael Scott using your pants as a shelter.
I wouldn't last more than 24 hours. If you put me on Naked and Afraid, doing well. But at the same time, I think... amongst my family members, I would do better than most.
Our show is really limping to the finish line the best possible way. But let's hear your take. If you want to indulge this conversation more, go right ahead.
I feel like we spent more than enough time on this.
Oh, you sure?
It's interesting. I feel like it's more like, especially if I'm going to break it down, I'm also realizing like you don't know that many details about my actual family members. So when I like bring up, it's more of like an inside joke family conversation. So maybe
perfect for the air.
Bring it up for Thanksgiving. Bring it for Thanksgiving. I stand by my take that it is a good discussion topic, and I did have
a
sports
tie-in. Take.
Well, my tie-in is the actual take, which was the best part of TNT's Inside the NBA broadcast is when they talk about stuff that's other than sports. I was going to make both you guys rate it no matter what you say and then dive into that, but Killed my setup.
I'm so sorry about that. I couldn't help myself, and I do apologize. I do apologize for the roast I was dishing at you last night. I think it got personal, but you saying that you would survive because you play Minecraft was maybe the low point of our friendship.
I think that wasn't the point. It was just that it's a small asset.
All right.
In my scouting grade for the apocalypse, it's plus a few points there.
Yeah, throw some torches down, you'll be good.
Yeah.
But this is the closest I've been to giving you a 10 on something because I am so with you. I'm almost tempted to just pull off the Band-Aid and give it 10. In fact, I will. Alex, congratulations. This is the 10 out of 10 take. It's kind of my guilty pleasure is inside the NBA. I'm kind of embarrassed at my fandom for it. I mean, Jack, you got to love inside the NBA, right?
Anytime Chuck talks.
Oh, my gosh. He says a lot of stuff that I couldn't get away with saying on WSUM.
San Antonio.
Yeah, yes, definitely. But that's what makes the show, I would say, so appealing. And there's just like the little, oh, gosh, I wish I could talk about more of my favorite bits. Have you seen the run through the tape with Chris Webber? Where Shaq, Chuck, Kenny, and Ernie did a race with Chris Webber to see who would win, and Kenny stopped right before the finish line, slowed down, and Chris Webber caught him right at the end, and it wound up being this complete disaster. I'll send you the link to it. It's so funny.
They've done so many similar things. I think the athletic competitions is where the show hits its peak. It's like the dribbling around, imitating each other, like the clip of Charles dribbling, like pretending to be Shaq, and like just all of them together as a group is hilarious, and like they obviously know a lot about basketball, but a lot of people can contribute similar ways in that conversation. They're a little bit different based on their career accomplishments, especially Shaq, but they're just hilarious individuals. Ernie might be like the sneaky funniest one out of all of them.
Well, they said that I watched a documentary about the show, and they said that a lot of the funny stuff they say actually starts from something Ernie says off camera.
I you can't say enough about that guy.
Yeah, I think he's awesome.
Now that we already ranked our favorite broadcasters, I think that was a big miss by me not bringing him up at all.
Oh, I think we had like actual announcers
though.
I think he came up. I can't remember half the stuff we say.
That's true.
But I'm going to demote you to a 9 because I realized that my favorite bit they've ever did, the Houston Rockets LA Clippers locker room battle, that was affiliated with basketball. Have you seen that, Jack?
No.
I will send it to you after this show.
I know you've sent
Hardest
it to me at
I've
least
laughed.
Twice.
Oh, my gosh. I love it so much. LAPD was called. Yeah, but I'm totally with you. Anything else to add?
Just clarifying points for my apocalypse bit of ranking your family members. I mean, I would prefer, if you have a big enough family, do the direct family members first. I mean, no siblings makes it a little bit tougher. Then you got to expand out and then just do general blood relatives. And I think in that case, you stop at your top five because you have to hurt some feelings here. Some people have to get left off the list. It's like NBA honors. There is the first team, and you got to pick your first team. I do think Vince is a little bit of a wuss for not ranking his family members. I was willing to give mine, but since we're talking about inside the NBA, and I do want to hear someone rank this, I want you to give your inside the NBA ranking for the apocalypse. I know the obvious order for me.
Oh, Ernie's got to be number one. Actually, I don't know. A Shaq, because he can lift stuff.
That's obvious one for
Jack's
me.
Disagreeing, but
I think Shaq, he's too slow.
Mm. Yeah. But
I think the brute
slow?
Strength I
depends
want.
On the zombie.
And he is a little bit of a goober. I know that the gas tank math that he does of like fill up your tank halfway, like
California, it's closer to California than the moon. That was something he said.
Very odd logical analysis, but the strength, even at his age, I think is worth the while.
I'd go him, Ernie, Kenny, Chuck.
Chuck being last, I think, is interesting. I had him.
He's got bad knees.
Chuck is definitely old.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Although Kenny is like the king of bad knees. But the fact that we're even talking about this right now goes to show just how great Inside the NBA
is. It is. I think they should debate that as a show.
Yes.
I would love to see that.
I'll tweet this out and I'll add them. No response whatsoever.
I expect no response.
Yeah,
but
maybe there's a 1% chance. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that.
Now to an actual sports show, 15 minutes in.
I must feel bad I have something really sports related, but I was really a big critic of the in-season tournament when it first, you're not in-season tournament, the play-in tournament. I just thought that you're just trying to get more teams in the playoffs so that way they can get more playoff dollars from the revenue, and oh, they know that their teams play better in the playoffs and it's better and people watch it more. But I'm just dead wrong on it. The play-in tournament is awesome, and we keep proving it over and over again. The first play-in game, Lakers versus Warriors, and what was that, 2019, 2020? I forget exactly when, but it was just so cool when LeBron hit the deep three to put the Warriors away at the end, getting poked in the eyeball. And there's just so much effort on display. It really stinks that Zion got hurt last night, although you kind of know what you're getting with Zion, unfortunately. That being said, it was so disappointing. He got so close to the end of the game. Really a magical performance than having it marred like that. But that game was fun. And it was even more fun watching the Warriors getting annihilated. It's a shame that that could be the last game played with Klay, Steph, and Dre, one of the, I'd say, most iconic big three, not just in basketball, but in sports. I don't know if there really are any other sports that have a true big three involved in them. I'm just wrong. Because I think that what I really liked about baseball's old playoffs, and something I wanted to talk about on an earlier show, but that was when we ate the Carolina Reaper, and I couldn't get the words out, is that baseball, it's kind of like, to use an analogy, it's like it's a big, long trek, it's a big trip, and you want a big, rugged vehicle to get that get you to point A to point B. And having a one-game wild card game in baseball is the equivalent of trying to soup up that Jeep that you used to get from one to the other, the family van, and trying to put like a V8 in there and push it to the limit. You're turning a drag race out of what should be a marathon. And I love that so much. I love the extra strategy. And I think you really see that come into play with the play-in tournament. There's no like, we'll pace this game, then we'll come back for game four. No panic that we lost this game. It's you have to win this game. I don't care if you're home or away, and you're seeing players go all out. LeBron's playing heavy minutes. It's just such a win for the NBA, and I love it.
I would agree with that. The one thing is it's my only criticism of the play-in tournament, and it's I kind of think you only need three teams rather than four. That like the Warriors, obviously it was nice to see them have that last game, but they really weren't. I think they got it to four like right around halftime, but then after that
they got jumped.
Yeah, and I don't expect the Hawks Bulls, I believe, is the other matchup in that spot. I don't expect that to be the most riveting game, so I do think it would be interesting to see, like, maybe you have, like, I don't know how you would be able to make it work with three teams is the only problem, but I don't think you need that 10 seed, I believe, is the cutoff. I feel like that's a little bit too deep. Those bottom teams aren't quite good enough.
I kind of like the idea, though, of the 7 and 8 seed play each other to see who plays the 7 seed. And actually, I'm not sure how that'd work, though, because then in the second game, what would the 7 seed be playing for? They'd be playing to be either the 7 or 8?
It's the 7 and 8 would play, and the loser would play the 9 for the 8 seed.
I see. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I kind of like the idea. Because, yeah, a 10 seed, when you got two-thirds of the league having an opportunity to make the playoffs at the end of the season, I think that's maybe a little bit too much. I really like the idea. That's a good compromise.
If I could just say something.
Go for it. You don't need permission, dude.
I'm just saying, I think 10 is too many per conference. But at the same time, like, the difference between 9 and 10 is smaller than the difference between 9 and 8.
That's a good
Bulls
point.
And Hawks both don't deserve to be in the playoffs. Sixers and Heat? Those are teams that could win the conference.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I mean, under the usual system, they would be guaranteed to be in the playoffs, and now one of them might not. But that being said, it is the Bulls and Hawks, and the safeguard is, well, they're not. The Bulls and Hawks probably aren't going to make the playoffs because they're not good enough to beat the Heat or Sixers when they're fully trying. But, yeah, fun discussion. What rating are you giving me here, Alex?
I mean, the switch, I always thought this would be a success, so I think I got to go solid.
Okay,
eight.
Buddy.
I just knew it from the beginning. That was like one of my first takes when they announced it. It was like, I like this. It's going to be good for the league. And then after the first round of games, like the first weekend,
you usually have your pulse on what the people want. So I won't disagree with that. Oh, Jack?
I disagree there, though. Like, I would say it's better for entertaining purposes. Like, yeah, it's better for the fans, but I'd say it's worse for the league, you know, giving solidified playoff teams a chance to miss the playoffs and honestly bad teams a chance to get in.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, because there's definitely a chance that, who knows, maybe DeMar DeRozan drops like 50 points on Joel Embiid, and the Sixers miss the playoffs. It'd be a loss for everybody. It'd be a win for the East, but a loss for NBA fans. Good arguments all around. Man, this could be one of those shows, isn't it? If I can't say words, we're in trouble. Jack, you got a take for us? I don't kind of put you on the spot here. No problem. If not, we can always jump to it.
If not, you just got to rank your family members.
Not zombie apocalypse, just random period.
I'll give a golf take.
Awesome. Let's hear it. We haven't talked golf ever, so.
I don't know all that much about the LIV-PJ merger that got announced like a year ago, but I think that we see LIV players back on the PGA Tour, like outside of majors, by 2026. Like, I think it's coming, and it's going to not be good for all the players who stayed.
Are there any tournaments right now where the LIV and PGA people play together? Are they
majors?
Entirely?
So majors, the Masters, yeah. Which just happened, gotcha. And then the three other majors.
I like that because PGA, because Tiger Woods was their cash cow forever. Like the most invested I remember when Tiger in 2018 won the Masters, I was at the Kalahari for a student council event in middle school, and I just saw that Tiger Woods was doing well. It was hole 16, and then my friend was watching. I just like, well, heck, I'm not riding these water slides. I'm watching this. This could be sports history. And you don't really get that feeling from anyone in golf right now, or any athletes ever. So talk about the decline of golf, both from a ratings perspective and...
It's actually...
No, go ahead.
Ratings are going up.
Really?
Ratings are going up.
I didn't know that.
This Masters Thursday... I don't know about the weekend as a whole, but Thursday was, I saw, but I can't remember, the most viewed first day in X amount of years.
Wow.
Like, at least, the very least would have been 2019 when Tiger won. But because it was a Thursday, I think it might have even been earlier than 2019.
Wow, I stand correct. I wonder what other nonsense I've said that's wound up being wrong. I'm sure there's at least one an episode, but I appreciate the correction.
I think, yeah, Tiger is obviously entering the end of his career, but it was cool.
The end happened 2 years ago, unfortunately.
Hey, made the cut, broke another record.
You're right, yeah, you're right.
But Scottie Scheffler is...
GOAT.
Yeah, I mean...
Right now.
In the last four events he's played, win, tied second, win.
Yeah, very neat. Going back to your original take, though, I really think that PGA, I didn't want to capitalize off of the... Because I was going to say that they want it because they got to recover their ratings, but now this feels like an opportunity to get back on track and reach some heights they haven't reached since the Tiger era. So I really like that take a lot. And plus, I think LIV knows that although they've got the dough to hand over to Phil Mickelson... They also just want to be fully ingrained with the U.S. sports culture. I think officially, like, making that deal, like, a complete partnership, it accomplishes their goal.
Yeah, the crazy thing is how no one really knows anything, including the golfers. I mean, the merger got announced last year, and I don't see any, like, result of a merger.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Nothing has changed, so I don't know what's coming.
Yeah, it's like Indiana Jones 5. They introduced it like 5 years ago, and then just nothing happens. You all know what I'm talking about.
I actually have not seen the Indiana Jones movie.
Like the new one with Phoebe Waller-Bridge?
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I'm a big Indiana Jones nerd, though.
I'm not.
Okay, well, good for you. That's a win for you. But I'll give you an 8 on that take. I think there's a chance that LIV just says, heck, let's just ride it out. And forget about this, but I think you're right.
What would be the scenario there? Like, they just don't sign
LIV
anybody
says,
else?
Yeah, well, they just keep signing more people. Like, we can, like, it's like what Tiger said, everyone's got a price. I mean, if it keeps going up, I don't think it's going to happen, but if LIV, they gain some traction, they feel more confident and get more oil money to hand over to big golfers, maybe they'll just keep adding to their arsenal.
I feel like unless they do merge, it's going to be difficult for the PGA to hang around with them. Like the financial backing that LIV has. Like, I know the tournaments have more history and everything, but the finance side of the LIV tours and everything. Like,
it's just the product, though. The same way we were talking about the product as an NBA, like how the playing tournament makes it better for fans. LIV is worse for fans in pretty much every way. It's less golf. It's less competitive. It's less history. Like, you know, you want to make the argument that the PGA is on top because they have the history. Golf is that kind of sport where people actually care about it instead of being called 90s players plumbers.
I'm with you.
I feel like this is kind of the transition.
That's
from
a great analogy,
too.
Jack.
Like, the fact that Liv was able to come in and, like, just throw a bunch of money at it, get, like, just feed to the players' wants and make it, like, more of a player-driven league than a league-driven league. I think the actual athletes themselves are going to be more inclined to push for that, like, more freedom with that sort of stuff. I know the majors, like, those tournaments are going to be nearly impossible to break away from the PGA, but I think I could see the Liv just coming through and buying everything out and just have it be less of a merger, more of a buyout.
No, I mean, it's I forgot what I was going to say. Never mind.
I have a feeling golf fans are just like facepalming themselves right now.
Oh, I know nothing, but yeah.
That's what makes it fun.
I consider myself decently.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I meant because, yeah, the one thing I've read is that no matter how powerful Liv gets, they're not going to usurp the PGA.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. Maybe Alex is onto something here, and he will laugh at us in the future.
I mean, when you have like literally endless money, it's hard not like the way it started with soccer a long time ago, and like as more time goes on, there's more money that they put in there, and it's harder to say no as that check gets bigger and bigger. Everyone has a price, and I feel like at some point, I mean, at least some of the tournaments might, like, if they start getting more tournaments in the U.S., that's where it starts to swing.
Liv's goal, if they want to be legit, should be to go after courses and companies, and, you know, steal the history.
And that's exactly what they did for, like, it started with just kit sponsorships on the jersey. Like, you just buy ads, and then it turned to team ownership. And now, I mean, how many of the top Premier League teams and Champions League teams have, I mean...
The problem is that though, is... The
same ownership groups.
The problem is that, though, is how many top soccer teams have that funding behind them. But the problem is golf, like, it's only been 5 majors since Liv, like, you know, fully became a thing. And only one Liv player has won, Brooks Koepka, last year. And I would just say that the chances of Liv players winning majors right now is pretty high, but over time it's going to go down. The less golf you play, the less competitive, you know, you are naturally. All the best competitors in any sports are the ones who, like, never turn it off, and going to Liv is turning it off. So I think they might have infinite funding, but the quality is gonna just keep getting worse.
I can sense you two are gonna have a fist fight as soon as the show ends.
Well, I'm not that passionate about it.
He doesn't sound like a Liv fan.
No, I'm not. I dislike it, but I just, like, I feel like it's kind of inevitable. Like, if they decided to, like, start buying NBA teams or, like, NFL teams or something like that, like, I doubt that the leagues would want them to sell it. Yeah, because they're not in the same financial situation as the PGA is, where, I mean, they still have money, but it's just the Liv has way more.
I think it's much more likely that Liv, as a, like, name and concept, goes away, and the Saudis just, like, get their hands into PGA. Like, they just...
And I feel like that would be the same thing as Liv just taking over then. It's just that people own it under a different name.
You could say that for sure. I just think it's, you talked about everyone has a price. I think it's more likely that the PGA has a price than, you know, Liv fully takes over.
So I think I ended up swinging you by the end there. It would be more of a buyout than a merger.
They'd call it a merger.
I wasn't listening.
Nope,
no, I'm kidding. No, I'm sorry. It was engaging conversation. They just sit back and relax.
A little golf talk.
Yeah. I'm still going to give you an 8 on that one. But, Alex, did you make some fine art? You're like the guy at the start of The Last of Us who's like,
the scientist?
Yes. Yes. All right. We kind of got a half reference in there that worked. I'm 0.5 for 2 right now. I have a number to throw at Jack's argument there, Alex.
I think I'll go a solid 4 because we're not necessarily disagreeing at all. It's like,
you're neutral.
Yeah.
All right. And with that, we'll take it to, what are we calling it?
Badger Sports Update?
I don't know. We'll come up with a better name next week. We promise. 2 weeks left to do that, and we promise we will.
Yeah.
3 weeks, so.
But by the end of the show.
Next week.
Yeah. End of the
show. There we go. Badgers got a series win over Ohio State. Talking about softball right now. Take game 1 and 2, lost game 3. But big story right now, it just happened about 30 minutes ago. Tessa Mwanyamo threw a no-hitter against Minnesota, at Minnesota. Just happened right now. I believe it's the 12th in program history. So big deal for the Badgers. It's not the season they wanted. I believe they're now 5-8 in conference, but a cool memory for them.
Yeah, and I don't know who was more excited, Vince or Tessa, after seeing that final out, jumping around the station, fist pumping, the whole works. Was it four or five people you got high vibes from afterwards? Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Tessa got that many from her teammates.
I have a feeling she will.
We got to count.
Yeah, well, we'll have to go back to the game footage.
I mean, you might have celebrated harder than she did.
we'll find out. Jack, do you follow softball this year? No problem if not.
I do not.
Get off the show. No.
Actually, get on a broadcast then.
Hey,
that's the perfect
way
to do it.
Get you on softball. Oh, yeah. Alex, I think we had some fun, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have in my notes something. I heard it was the greatest sports broadcast of all time.
Really? Did you say that?
No, I read that in the newspaper somewhere.
What newspaper?
It was like New York Times, maybe?
Oh, we'll have to do our homework on that one. And with that, we'll take it to break, I guess. But don't go anywhere when we come back. Talk a little bit of NFL draft. Got some bold predictions for that. Talk about the Bucks playoffs and our NBA playoff predictions. Alex, you are something else today, my friend. We'll be back in just a second.
Hey, Jay, what are you doing?
I'm going to walk.
But Jay, the light is red. What if there's a car?
You know I don't believe in cars. I'm gonna walk.
Jay, please.
I'm doing it.
He really put the L in walk.
Let's not be like our ex-friend Jay. It's well known that Wisconsin ranks 46th in the country for jaywalking-related accidents. And with your participation, we could be 47th.
Here are some tips to help you obey pedestrian traffic laws. Often find yourself restless at a red light? Carry around a fidget toy or a snack. Look left and right, then left again. Repeat as necessary. Hold hands while crossing the street. If still inclined to break the law, ask a friend to restrain you. Remember, you can't walk if you're hit by a car.
And welcome back to After Further Review on WSTUN 9.7 FM Madison. Some wise words from a wise person there. Make sure you look both ways before you cross the street. And don't jaywalk. I actually jaywalked this morning, if I'm being honest. But, we all do it, I feel like.
You're a hypocrite, Vincent.
Yeah. I'm definitely a hypocrite. We'll dive into laundry list. Alex, do you have anything for laundry list, or are you all good?
I mean, I feel bad.
No problem. Rough day for Warriors fans. Last night, the dynasty, as you mentioned before, it came to an end, but it was especially painful for the Warriors because of Warriors fans on social media for two different reasons. The first one is that Twitter has this new AI news system. Did you see this, Jack? Alex? No. Where they take like the conglomerate of what people are saying, they try to make a news story out of it because they think it's like a real news event. And so someone posted.
I did see this.
Okay. All right. I can see you laughing, so it makes you feel a little bit better. But there's a common like copy thing that people do when someone has a bad game, and Klay Thompson was 0 for 10, not a great game. Second time he's ever been scoreless in the Steve Kerr era. The first time was when he got ejected less than 2 minutes into a game. But people are doing the same copy thing where they say, first off, I'm okay. My house was vandalized by bricks. After my hand stopped shaking, I managed to call the sheriff. They were quick to respond. My window was gone. The police asked if I knew who did it. I said, yes, it was insert player here. Klay Thompson, oh, he's throwing up bricks. But there were so many of these tweets out there that the actual news program released a headline, Klay Thompson accused in bizarre brick vandalism spree. And this they thought was a real news thing. In a bizarre turn of events, NBA star Klay Thompson has been accused of vandalizing multiple houses with bricks in Sacramento. Authorities are investigating the claims after several individuals reported their houses being damaged with windows shattered by bricks. Klay Thompson has not yet issued a statement regarding the accusations. The incidents have left the community shaken, but no injuries were reported. The motive behind the alleged vandalism remains unclear. Another win for social media. I guess the moral here is if you're getting your news directly through Twitter, then you probably have bigger problems.
From AI Twitter.
Yes. Yeah, but I thought that was very funny, though. Another tragic thing for Warriors fans is that, look, I want to defend the Warriors fans here first before I get into this, because who among us has not freaked out when their team has lost a big game? I definitely freaked out when the Bucks lost. Part of the reason why I love having a show on Wednesday is that way if something happens on Sunday and the Packers lose, I have 2 days or 3 days to digest it before I sound off on it. But that, right after the game, Warriors fans are going crazy, and they have a Twitter group? It's like a big group call where everyone can join in, and everyone's going crazy, but then FS1's Nick Wright decided to join the actual conversation at 1 in the morning. I didn't watch the whole thing because it was I got some secondhand embarrassment, but some of the quotes from it were just hilarious. But the funniest bit to me was when someone said that, like, they know what they're talking about because they played all 82 games, and the quote was, what you're doing right here is an appeal to authority fallacy, but if you want to follow that same exact logical train, then don't you guys think the general manager, team president, and owner watch the game even closer than you guys? In which the collective response was, no, absolutely not. So the Warriors fans were confident they knew the game more than the GM and the coach, which, once again, who among us is not freaked out, but I just thought that was very funny.
I mean, I'd honestly say that not head coach or GM, but owner, I feel like they don't actually care.
Yeah, that
would be crazy. How do you not, like, that's such a big financial investment for you just to not care.
Well,
about...
they care in a business sense. They don't, you know.
Well, I guess the business, though, is winning. Owner, you could make a debate for, because there's plenty of owners. I mean, John Fisher doesn't even know the name of his own players. He's excited to watch Aaron Judge hit home runs in his own stadium.
I just feel, though, NBA GMs are very qualified and smart, but I feel like most sports, they're honestly not.
Dang.
Football GMs, I think, are more of them are bad than good.
You've got to toil through the scouting ranks for decades before you get a chance.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not saying they're not good scouts or they're not good with contracts. I think once they get to the job of GM, very little people can, like, actually do it.
Well, that's definitely a take, but I respect it. My favorite part of the debate with Warriors fans was that everyone was yelling at Nick Wright, like, talking over him and stuff, which is a call with, like, 20 people, so how do you not? But he was talking at 1 in the morning, and his family was asleep, so he was literally, like, whispering, like how could you say that? He's like, I'm just saying that. And it was hilarious to watch. With that, we'll jump to the NFL draft. So we've got some bold predictions that we laid out, and... for the draft, and we have an independent adjudicator to grade how bold the predictions are. So if the prediction happens, you get as many points as you assign to it, if it happens.
I've done a lot of scouting on this class. So
okay,
I feel like an expert.
So I already had our friend Anthony Winker grade mine, but I will completely scrap his answers in wake of yours. So my first one, I want you to grade skill 1 to 5. My first prediction, not prediction, something I think could happen, and I'm trying to, you know, strategize here. J.J. McCarthy goes over Drake May.
I think it is unfortunately very possible, which is crazy to say.
So it's 1 to 5. One to five being craziest.
5 being craziest. I'll say 2. I can see it for sure.
All right. 6 QBs going around 1. So it'd be Michael Penix and Bo Nix on top of the top 4.
Yeah. I'm going to say 4.
Whoa.
Because I don't think it'll happen.
I also had this on mine. I think it should.
I think it should happen. I think all 6 QBs are solid and capable and deserving of the first round. I just don't think it'll actually happen.
Wow. Anthony gave that one a 2, but I will take it. So I guess there'd be a 4 for you as well.
Yeah.
Then.
I wasn't going to use this one because I didn't know if it was like a bold take or not. Because aren't they all projected to go in the first round?
I don't know.
I think the big one is Bo Nix. I think in the end, 5 of them go in the first round. Bo Nix goes early, mid, second.
All right. Well, you're going to love my last take then. Brock Bowers drops outside the top 15.
Ooh. Wait, sorry. I blanked. 1 is most likely?
1 is, most likely happened. 5 is insane hot take.
I'm going to just say 3. Okay. I think it's unfortunate. Yeah, I think it's unfortunate how he's dropped. He's, in my opinion, the, you know, like a top 10 prospect, maybe even top 5.
Yeah.
But I think positional value and the teams that are up there, it can happen.
Preach. No defense goes in the top 10.
5. That's not happening.
Ooh, all right. And finally, Broncos trade up for Bo Nix.
Oh, my God. That's all 5. Okay. That's also not happening.
All right.
No one's trading
I know.
Up
that's
Bo Nix.
That's my insane one. I feel like I got to do one funny one after Alex said that Shohei will get suspended for his NBA hot take.
How many? So did you do 5?
That's 5.
Okay. So I had the same one with it's matching the 1983 draft for most in a first round was the other part of it. So, like, I do think that makes it a little bit bolder, but at the same time, it, I kind of expect to see that one. I would be surprised if that doesn't come true.
We'll take the four, though.
Yeah, and then this one I think is a lot bolder. I see seven wide receivers drafted in the first round as well.
Whoa.
That would also tie the most wide receivers in the first round.
I'm going to count out my top seven and see if I hit it. Marvin, Rome, Neighbors. I really like Adonai Mitchell, Brian Thomas, Ladd McConkey.
You could be making up.
Xavier Leggett. Those are my top seven.
You're saying all seven of those gentlemen go in the first round.
I don't think it happens. I'll say four again.
All right. See, that one was one I was going for points. This one, I don't know how you end up grading it because I feel like it's a more of a long-term take, but specifically for the quarterbacks, it ends up being more like 2018 than 2020, where a lot of quarterbacks get drafted in the top few picks. Most of them aren't going to pan out to be starters. I mean, one of them might be pretty good. One of them might end up being a starter.
That's tough to grade long term.
And the rest are going to end up being bench warmers. But then, do I just do a different one then?
I feel like you probably. That's a good discussion topic for next week.
Yeah.
I feel like that's more of a discussion.
Yeah. All right. I'll scrap that one then. All right. First three picks in the draft aren't all quarterbacks.
Oh, that's a six.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
I could see the Patriots doing something crazy and just swapping.
That's true. I can see them.
Take a wide receiver or something.
Marvin and Bo Nix. Marvin and Bo Nix. Be like, we think wide receiver is more important.
Might have something there.
I don't encourage that.
Yeah.
I don't even know if this counts as a bold take, but the Packers take a defensive player in the first round.
Oh, they've done that forever.
What pick are they?
5?
I want to say 24, but I'm not 100% sure.
That'd be 22. Defensive line range.
A lot of people are projecting O-line for us. There's a lot of good O-line
yeah. in this draft.
But I think we'll switch it up and go defense. I could see us just taking a random linebacker, edge rusher.
Linebacker is a very weak class. But edge rusher, I like the edges in this class, especially late first round. Darius Robinson out of Missouri. He's a converted D tackle to the edge, and so he's one of the strongest edges.
We do have number 25.
Oh, man, I got it wrong. All right, so what would you grade that one then?
Defense the first round? One. I think that's the most likely. That's fair.
Yeah. And then the Packers, another one for this, drafting Braylon Allen. Another running back.
That's hard because that's like...
It's not going to be a first...
Probably a fourth round. Yeah. That's probably fourth round.
It's going to be a late round pick, but I think they grab him.
I don't. I mean, I'm not a Packers fan, so I have no interest in seeing Wisconsin players I like on the Packers. But also, I'm a Bears fan, so I see a lot of what the Packers do. And I feel like they don't like to draft from Wisconsin.
I don't think they... Have they ever taken a Wisconsin running back?
I mean, there's been plenty of players. Yeah. I can't name a Wisconsin player in recent memory that got drafted by the Packers.
I just think there's a little bit of opening in the backfield. I don't know that they wholly trust A.J. Dillon to be a solid number two, so bringing a young guy behind Josh Jacobs, I wouldn't mind it.
I think Braylon might be too similar of a back.
Oh, yeah, that's true. All right, my last one, Caleb Williams doesn't go number one.
Oh, my goodness.
8,000.
Yeah, I'll give you a billion. The Commanders literally did not even bother having Caleb Williams at their tryout.
And if you want a testament to how bad the Bears normally are as an organization, though, like giving him some sort of credibility for the stake, I had a friend who like knows that I'm like super knowledgeable about the Bears, and he's deathly afraid that they're gonna take JJ McCarthy.
Really?
Yeah. So that was like the player I was thinking of like the guy that just rises way too fast. The only thing I'm worried about is if they decide to go with him, they trade back in that situation. So like, I feel like he's 100% gonna go number one.
It's
but
the
yeah,
Bears is the Bears brings it down from a million to a six.
I think that everyone knows if the Bears try and trade this pick, it means they don't want Caleb Williams, and nobody wants to fall in the same trap as the Panthers
did. Bo Callahan?
I could see it, but I don't know. I thought it would be just a wild way to earn points.
Yeah, I love the wild predictions that no one here thinks are going to happen, but
it's
why
the
not?
Whole point of bold predictions. If there I'm going to talk about the Packers taking a defensive player, I got to go way out of the park for another one.
Well played. And with that, we'll jump ahead to NBA playoffs, the final 15 minutes. Tough draw for the Bucks. We thought it was a disaster last year. Looking very similar this year. Bucks with a 3 seed, Giannis out for game one. And I'm just saying the fact that that came out so soon with the game not until Sunday, which makes you think he's also going to be out for game two and maybe game three as well. So that being said, let's just say we'll take it with how many games Giannis misses. So if he misses every single game of the series, what's the result, do we think?
I think Pacers in five.
I think we could make it 6 without Giannis.
Okay.
Are you a big NBA guy, Jack?
I'm not huge, but I know enough, I think.
Okay.
No Giannis for the whole series?
Whole series.
I think it still gets to 7. I would take the Pacers, but I think it gets to 7.
How many games do you think they need Giannis to win this series?
I think they need him for at least 5. I think if he's out for game 3, then things get a little sketchy.
Well, you just have to avoid going down 3-0.
Yeah.
I mean, game 4 at Pacers with Giannis back. Oh, NBA couldn't write a better script. But, yeah, that'd be really fun. But let's just say that because my guess is I'm going to assume he misses 2 or 3 games. My official prediction, look, the Pacers killed us. They beat us 4-1 in the series. That being said, Halliburton has been looking less superstar-y.
And then they added Siakam.
Yeah, but I mean, Siakam's good, but I don't think he's great. He's kind of has a checkered history in the playoffs. He's not exactly an efficient player. He's been incredibly efficient for the Pacers. I just think the Pacers are a team that rely a lot on getting out the fast break, pushing the pace. And I think that in the playoffs, the game slows down quite a bit. I think it's going to work against them. So I think that although the Pacers might jump the Bucks and take game one, this is a position the Bucks are very comfortable in given their history of losing game ones in series. So I think that the Bucks in 6. Although I would not be surprised if we lost.
I went the opposite. Even with Giannis, I'm assuming he's going to miss the first 3 games of the series, and then I have us losing in 6 to the Pacers.
Ooh.
I would say Bucks in 6. I think Pacers, the lights are too bright. Bucks have been there, done that. I think, the goal is Giannis gets back by game 5 at the absolute latest.
Yeah.
Split in Milwaukee, lose the 2 in Indiana, and you still got a chance.
My nightmare for the series is watching Dame struggle in the first 2 games and then just totally losing his confidence, and then having Giannis come back, play very well, but then Dame just shoots us out of games again.
Yeah, that's actually our next discussion point, is you could make the argument that this is the biggest series that Damian Lillard has ever played in. Because it's going to be historic for him. It's just a matter of whether it'll be in a good context or a bad.
We have the stars under the most pressure as a talking point for this, and he was my clear number one with a little asterisk for how long Giannis is out.
Yeah.
I think. Do you think there's more pressure the longer Giannis is out, or it kind of goes down if he comes back?
I think that this is still.
Or goes up if he comes back.
Well, I think that this team is, because Dame had some solid runs through the playoffs with Portland, who did not really feed him very well. It's a lot of talent. I think that this is a team that's similar to those C.J. McCollum teams in terms of talent. Could argue, Bucks maybe a little bit higher, maybe a little bit lower, depending on your take. But I think this is a position that Dame is supposed to be comfortable in. The only big difference is he's not in Portland. He's donning the green and white right now, so. Big series for him. I think that even if we don't have Giannis the entire series, there's still a chance. But if Dame could go out and drop 45 points in game one, I think that people would forget about that regular season very quickly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know I would, especially like the start of the season when he was hitting threes right away, game winners.
Yeah.
Every shot that he was making made me even more excited that he was on our team. At the end of the regular season, I'm kind of in a position where I think our team would have been better had we kept Jrue Holiday.
Ooh.
I know that
they're saying that pre-playoffs, though.
Yes.
I'm saying I don't.
Yeah. At the end of the regular season, I understand why people don't like him, but I think defensively, even if his offense isn't going, and it might be like 1 in 3 games that he can go over like 22, 23 points a game. But when that happens, it's hard to lose those games, and then it's just on your star player to win the other ones.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, Jrue did get absolutely cooked by Jimmy Butler, but on the other hand, so would anybody with the way Jimmy
that
was
entire
playing.
Run. Yeah.
Final topic on the Bucks. What should the starting lineup be without Giannis? I'm thinking I'll go first because I'm throwing this at you, but I feel like you need to have Dame and Chris. Obviously, you need to have Brook Lopez. Then there's some topic for discussion. Malik Beasley has really struggled down the stretch for the Bucks. I think you should maybe at least try Pat Beverly in that spot. And then it kind of comes down to that last four spot. Maybe Jay Crowder. Still, with the way he's been playing down the stretch, I feel like you got to give Bobby Buckets to start come playoffs.
I'm worried about our bench scoring if you put him out there too early. Like the second team offense is definitely in a struggle.
That's a good point.
But I mean, if our first team is also losing, it doesn't matter how much Bobby does when he comes back out there. We need the best lineup possible, especially in the playoffs. So I would agree. Get Bobby in the starting lineup. Definitely want Pat Bev. I mean, he's experienced. He might not be like the best player of all time, but he's scrappy. And in playoff situations, I do trust his experience.
Yeah, I'd say maybe the win of the season for the Bucks was a comeback without Giannis against the Clippers. And just seeing Pat Bev and Bobby like flexing at each other, the crowd going crazy. It'd be awesome to have a moment like that in the playoffs. You with us on this one, Jack?
So I'm not that, you
That's
know.
Cool.
I don't know that much about the Bucks starting or the whole roster, but I do know Bobby Portis and I do know Pat Beverly, and I think they're both very underrated.
I can
contribute in the playoffs.
I want those two as our second rotation, like the spark guys where they come up.
But you talk about how you're kind of worried about Dame's defense, and that's where Pat Bev just
steps up and covers for him a little bit.
Weird guard combination, especially Minch's going to the start of last season saying next year it's going to be Dame and Pat Bev starting the playoffs for you. We'll jump to the NBA playoffs as a whole with our last 7 minutes we got here. So real quick, playing games. We picking 7 and 8. Miami and the Sixers are playing right now. We should probably speed through this because this will be completely useless for the asynchronous edition of the show.
Yeah, I think both of them will be in the East. And then the Zion injury, I think, lets the Kings get in there in the West.
Agree and agree.
Awesome. I'm glad we all agree across the board. Just for the sake of mine, I guess I'll just go first here and rip off the Band-Aid. Regardless of whether it's the Heat or the 76ers who win tonight and play the Knicks, I think either one of them will win that series. The Knicks just have struggled in the playoffs, although Brunson's been fantastic and Julius Randle has been not great in the playoffs. I still think that's a loss that matters, and it's rare to see a bunch of role players who don't have as much playoff experience blow through a team like the Heat, who have a legitimate superstar on their squad and set experience. That being said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks have some magic. Maybe they clamp up the Heat on the way to a decisive series win. But no matter who it's in that spot, I'm picking them to beat the Knicks. Whoever plays the Celtics in the first round, I'm picking them to lose. Celtics look very legit. What do you think of those to start out?
I could see the Knicks beating either one of those, especially the Heat. I know they turn it on in the playoffs. I haven't quite seen it down the stretch to end the season from them as much as Philly with a healthy Joel, I think, is a lot more dangerous. So I think they end up getting that 7 seed and do beat the Knicks. The Heat, they do line up a little bit better against Boston than, I guess anyone lines up better against New York than Boston.
Yeah,
they're way too good of a team. Yeah, but they do like they seem like the similar to the way the Pacers have the Bucks number. It seems like Miami and Boston have a similar relationship where Boston should be better, but they're not able to always show that on the court. But at the same time, with the improvements, I think Boston, like adding Drew, Kristaps, and the other role players on their team improve them enough to, and they have the right chemistry and everything to take care of them this year.
Cavs magic. I'm picking Cavs decisively. I think the Cavs are going to have to blow it up, and I think if they lose, I think that the players know that Magic just happened to be here.
Yeah, I see that as well. I wanted the Magic in the first round very badly, but unfortunately, we didn't get there.
I like the Magic in that matchup, but overall, I think this is probably the year the Heat's playoff fire kind of runs out. Just matchups and kind of just like, I don't trust anyone but Jimmy, honestly. Like, yes, they've been there, done that, but they've been there, done that because of Jimmy.
Fair enough. We'll go Bucks and Pacers. I pick, Bucks.
I pick the Pacers. Yeah. I could see the Bucks. It depends on Giannis for me.
There you go. Jack.
Bucks, yeah.
So then that would match us up. I've got the Cavs
playing the Celtics. I think the Celtics are going to win. That would leave me with the Bucks taking on either 76ers or the Heat. I think at that point, if you reach that point, that probably means you had some nice moments in that Pacers series. Also, you'd have Giannis back, presumably fully healthy. I don't trust Joel Embiid in the second round of the playoffs, although it would be pretty awesome to see a Doc Rivers revenge game. I wouldn't rule out us getting a 3-1 lead joking it. That would be hilarious. If it's the Heat, I'd be really spooked as a Bucks fan, but I still think that we're capable of taking them down. I think we're fired up, and I think that we kind of understate just how impactful the loss of Giannis was last year, especially without having Dame Lillard and having Jrue Holiday try and pick up the low, which he was unfortunately unable to do. So I've got Bucks and Celtics at the conference championship, and this is a promise I made when Doc Rivers was announced as head coach. I'm picking the Celtics to beat the Bucks in probably a decisive five-game series.
Yeah, if the Bucks win their first-round matchup, I see it going the same way. If they lose, I think the Sixers make it to the conference final, lose to the Celtics pretty decisively in the same situation. For me, I have Boston winning the championship as well. I think they are by far the best team in the league. And, I mean, everything they added is going to push them up over the edge this year. I mean, it's like having Giannis and everyone. Then you get Jrue Holiday. I think they're going to do the same thing.
Jack, quick Eastern Conference prediction?
Sorry. I think the Celtics choke.
Okay,
I got the Bucks.
Ooh, I love that. Jump to the West real quick. Lakers-Nuggets. I'm going Nuggets.
Nuggets.
Timberwolves-Suns. I'm going the Suns. This will be a fun series, though.
I think the Timberwolves win this one.
Yeah, it'd be great for the fans.
I got the Suns.
All right. Clippers-Mavs. Maybe my favorite first-round series.
I go Mavs in this one.
100%.
I'm as well going with the Mavs. The Clippers are going to blow it up after that. Thunder, I don't know who they play, but I'm picking them to take them down.
Yeah.
Yep. Next round, we go Thunder versus Mavericks.
This one, I think the Mavericks also win.
I'm going with you.
I'm
going
to say Mavericks, too.
Awesome, yeah. Could be a nice run for them. What do you think? I think the Nuggets are going to take down whoever is the Timberwolves or Suns.
Yeah.
I would also agree with that, yeah.
All right. You have Nuggets and Mavs in the conference finals. Feels like a decisive Nuggets victory.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Mavs.
Have
some fun.
I like it. So that would leave you in the championship, Bucks versus Mavericks.
That sounds like a good time
to me. Let's hear it. What's your final prediction?
You know, I might be a Chicago fan, but Dame is Dame. He deserves a ring. I'll say Bucks in six.
Oh, inject it in my veins, Jack. Thank you so much for coming on. Boston looks really scary, really deep team. Nuggets in five.
I think Boston wins in six. They're both very deep teams. They're on a collision course, but I think Boston has the right pieces this year.
Awesome. Well, looks like that will do it for After Further View. Fun conversation. Thank you so much, Jack, for joining us. It's a shame we couldn't get to the rest of those topics, but I greatly enjoyed talking about the alien apocalypse and other nonsense. But with that will do it. Thank you so much for watching or listening. I can never do an outro correctly. Anyways, have a great rest of your day.